next.
Let's talk.
Bill Padley on TRE, Talk Radio Europe.
Listening to Let's Talk on Talk Radio Europe, and once a month we talk accounts. And Alistair Spence-Clark, as always, is with us. Welcome again.
Good morning, Bill. This is end of November, and we are probably just recovering from the shock of the change in government, or not change in government.
Yeah, exactly right.
Union with Podemos, which is going to be very, very interesting for us in the next few months.
Let's hope there's not a repeat of this in the UK. It's all looking a bit déjà vu.
Anyway, my Spanish friends are already telling me there's going to be another election, but I just can't believe that for the moment.
Goodness me. Okay, now last time we touched on a document which is available from your website, and it's a rather splendid document, if I must say. But not reading you're going to do in 5 minutes while you're sitting on the loo, I wouldn't have thought.
No, it's a little bit on the heavy side, and you know, accounts and tax can be a bit impenetrable at times. So I'm going to refer to, if people would like to, you know more about what I'm talking about, just go on our website, look at our guides. There's a tab for guides, and look up for 2019 year-end tax and accounts review, and that will provide all the information which is behind what Bill and I would be talking about.
Okay. Now, we did say last time that the Spanish system is slightly different. Well, in fact, we did decide that the British system was wrong. And in fact, most other countries do this year to year end.
Yeah, it is very much the UK that's the odd one out. There are other countries. Gibraltar's June, for example. That's another weird one. Anyway, putting that aside, yes, we were talking about all the potential tax things that people should think about before the end of the year. And obviously, we're focusing on business at this time of the year because it's businesses that really need to have the focus because they've got decisions to make before the end of the year. So, in this guide, this little sort of treatise on what you shouldn't do with your accounts, I've listed a number of things that over the years we've discovered are particularly weak in our local system, in the Spanish system. I'm not sure why it is. It's to do with the way accountancy and tax has developed over the years in Spain. And there is this tendency to treat accounts as nothing more than a filling in a form. Whereas if you come from the US or UK or Norway or somewhere like that, you know, your accounts are actually quite a serious thing. You can't sell your business without the accounts.
Yes.
If your accounts don't make sense, then the tax man's going to be after you. Here, you know, it's different. So the emphasis is not on getting your accounts right, except when something goes wrong.
I'm surprised you say that about the Spanish, because they do love a form. They love filling in a form.
Yeah, but the filling in the form and the accounts is the whole point of accounts. Is they're meant to sort of be a reality. They're meant to reflect, you know, if your accounts say you owe money to someone, it should be real.
Yep.
You've got money in the bank, you know, it should be in the bank. And bookkeeping can be a little bit flaky here. So what I've done is I've listed the areas where things go wrong most. And I really recommend anyone in business to have a good look at it, because, you know, you should go and talk to your expert, your accountant, to make sure that things are in good order, and then you can get on with Christmas.
One of the things which surprised me when I arrived here is trying to get my head around the difference between what you guys do and a gesteria. And there doesn't seem to be kind of equivalent of a gesteria in the UK. You get your accounts done by an accountant.
Yeah, gesteria in Spain, of course, is somebody who is accustomed to dealing with the administrative part of the system. And of course, Spain has a famous bureaucracy. So the full name for a gesteria is a gestoría administrativa. Mm-hmm. And they are trained and have experience on how the wonders of bureaucracy work.
Right.
And they're very good. I mean, they're fantastic and absolutely essential in this country. And if you want to get your license renewed, or you want to sell a car and you want the forms to be filled in, or you want to apply for residencia, you know, gesterías are really brilliant at this.
Mm.
But they don't, they're not accountants.
Yeah.
Or should I say, some of them, most of them are not accountants. Some of them are trained accountants as well, and you know, all well and good. But the tendency is for gesterías to fill in forms.
Yes.
And they regard filling in accounts as nothing more than a series of forms to fill in.
Mm.
Whereas where I come from, accountants are meant to represent a true and fair view of the business state. You know, the profit is meant to be the real profit. You know, the assets and liabilities in the balance sheet should be the real assets and liabilities in the balance sheet. And so there is a there's a kind of difference. So what happens when businesses lose focus on these things and allow their professionals to totally control and don't ask questions, then things go wrong. Mm. When things go wrong, it's not the assessoria, the hesteria that pays the tax bill, it's the business.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you can't get away from the fact that you're responsible. It's your business, your tax returns, your accounts. If you want to sell your business, your accounts don't make any sense, you're not going to be able to sell it very well, that's for sure. Mm. If you have a tax inspection and your accounts don't make much sense, then you're going to be in trouble. So, you know, this is the time of year. Spend a couple of hours with your accountant, go through the balances, ask questions. If the questions come back sensible, then fantastic. You've got a great accountant. If they don't, then you've got a problem and you need to deal with it.
We used the analogy of it being a bit like a doctor who just kind of prescribes you a pill and doesn't really kind of follow it up. You just go off and take this pill, sir. And I've got an accountant friend in the UK, and I actually did catch him, you know, sitting reading the accounting laws. That's what you guys do. And I imagine hesterias don't.
What they read what they need to read to solve the problem. But accounts are not high on the agenda. And it takes, you know, I trained for 7 years
yes.
to become a chartered accountant. You know, 5 years of very hard exams and on the job training, plus 2 years post-qualification before they would let me public practice.
Yeah.
You know, that's 7 years. And here in this country, you know, get a university degree for 3 years, put your sign up and you're an accountant. It's a different concept.
Yeah.
And some of the accountants in Spain are fantastic.
Yeah,
you know,
of course,
because they
yes.
go on, they become auditors, they become expert accountants, they act as experts in the court, but they've gone through additional training and they've had many, many years of experience. What I'm talking about is the relatively low level advice that you get sometimes, where you know, the price is cheap inevitably, but the quality may not be, sometimes it's good, may not be up to scratch.
Yep.
And when it goes wrong, it's your fault.
And it becomes important, you know, when things happen, like, for example, at the beginning of this year, the tax office sent letters to small businesses explaining that they've compiled data and were basically saying you've been warned.
Absolutely. It was much criticized by the Spanish professions because it was taken as a threat.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I thought it was a pretty kind warning. The tax office actually wrote to people say, you know, your accounts don't make sense.
Right.
Your profit margin in your accounts don't tie up. You know, you're a pizzeria and you're showing a profit margin of 50%. It should be a 95%. Mm. Yeah. The tax office isn't stupid. They got enormous computer power. They got all the data in the world that you can imagine. So what they were basically doing is saying to businesses which had suspicious or maybe just problems in the bookkeeping, is, guys, you know, we got our eye on you, and don't be surprised if we inspect you.
Which is not something you want, as you've mentioned many times before.
No, you don't want an inspection. No.
Quick question on that, Alistair. If you were inspected and it was a Hester, he had filled out your forms, would he kind of throw you to the wolves, or would he try and guide you through it?
He'd try and guide you through it. I mean, unless he's completely irresponsible. Yes, we've come across those as well, being here 30-odd years. But, you know, in the main, they'll do their best to look after you. But, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where you have to be looked after. You want to be in a situation where, you know, your books don't cause you any problems.
Absolutely.
You're paying professional fees to make sure that they don't cause any problems. And what I'm doing is I'm saying to people, this is the time of year that you should spend a little bit of time making sure that everything you've got in your books does make sense. You know, do you really owe money to Vodafone?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, it's direct debited every month. So how can I owe money to Vodafone?
Right.
You know, the petrol station that you go to and you put the invoices through the company, do you really owe money to that petrol station? No, of course not. I paid them by credit card. They wouldn't let me drive my car away.
Yeah.
We come across this all the time. I mean, it's nonsense. It's stupid and it's lazy. So suppliers' balances, typically, you know, customer balances, you look at those balances as the business owner. And you say, you know, you ask your tax advisor, look, we're in November. Give me my September balances, my last EVA quarter when you did some work. Show me your balances and show me who I owe money or who I owed money to on the 30th of September.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't make sense, big alarm bell, you know?
Right, in terms of balances, explain that a bit more for people who you know, we may have trapeze artists listening who think that balance is they have to do on a wire.
Well, bookkeeping is very simple. Invoice on one side, payment on the other. Just like your bank statement. It's got ins and outs.
Yeah.
So if you've got a Vodafone account, which you will have, or Telefonica or whatever, the invoice goes in and the payment goes in. Now, the two things should cancel out, should be no net balance, no balance. And so that bookkeeping, that's bookkeeping in a nutshell. It's not complicated. There are some problem areas. So, for example, one of the worst areas we come across is the director's shareholders account.
Uh-huh.
So you know, you're a director, you're a shareholder, and you have an account in the company, obviously. You know, you might take wages or whatever. It's often used as a dump account. Mm. So because, you know, a lot of people in business kind of mix up their personal bank account with their company account and say, you know, well, actually I need to pay this bill, I'll use the company. And obviously that should go against them. They owe the money to the company. But the trouble is that bookkeepers often say, I'm not sure what this payment is. What I'll do is, it must be the owner. The owner's taken the money out. It must be one of his bills because I can't find the invoice. If I can't find the invoice that's being paid, it must be an invoice that I don't have. So right. it must be the owner who owns personal bill or something. Yeah. Well, in fact, what he should do is ask the owner, I found this payment. What was it for? Because I need to match it with an invoice.
Yeah.
But that takes time. And with foreign clients, particularly, they have a language problem. So they're kind of a bit reluctant to talk to their clients. Mm. So it goes, we call it cajon desastre, a box where you put the rubbish in, or dump account in English.
Fantastic.
So one of the things that business owners should definitely look at is you know, what look for the director's shareholders accounts. Ask your accountant, where's this account that I hear so much about? And if it's got a balance there and it says that you owe the money company, sorry, you owe the company money, look at it and say, well, do you owe the company money? I mean, I've come across clients that we've taken on, they've got hundreds of thousands in that balance. Goodness. Hundreds of thousands that apparently over the years they've taken out. I talked to the client and said, well, what's all this money you borrowed from the company? He said, but I haven't borrowed any money. I said, these are your balances, my friend. Why do you sign, because you sign these accounts at the end of the year, why do you sign these accounts and you don't know what's in them? Guys, you know, you're responsible. As I said, it's often used as a dump account.
Yep.
And the other one, this is the really freaky one. There's a thing called a cash account or CAHA. And for the technical, that is account number 570.
My favorite, the 570.
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely. Yep. Now, you sort of look at it and you say, well, what? My business doesn't get involved in cash. Well, we don't even have petty cash, yeah. You know. What cash? Well, that's the other dump account. If we can't figure out what to do with it, let's pretend that the money's been taken out and it's cash. So if you've got that in your books and you don't deal in cash, I mean, some businesses are cash-based like restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
If you don't deal in cash and you have a cash account, you've got to say to your accountant, what the hell's going on? Mm. You know, this cannot be right.
Interesting.
So these are the things, you know, the director's account, other things like fixed assets, like cars, stuff like that. In your balance sheet or in your accounts and your bookkeeping balances, you'll have the car. Now, I've come across clients that have three cars that they have already sold. They sold them years ago, and the accountant has never, somehow or other, he's missed the transaction. And the cash, you know, because they've never gone through the balances, these three cars are still in the balance sheet. One of the absolute worst I've come across is a building worth hundreds of thousands of euros, which was in the balance sheet that had been sold 5 years before.
Fantastic.
You can't believe some of these things.
A friend of mine, actually, I think I might have a better one for you. A friend of mine in the UK once put his dog through as an employee in his personal accounts and then was audited. Good luck with that.
That's superb. Is that in order to put the food through?
Absolutely, yeah. And you're not making these kind of things up, are you? You do see these things more often than not.
Yeah, one of the reasons I love my job, and it was getting very boring in the UK when I was in the UK, and I was in the UK less years than I've been here, actually. it got very boring in the UK because it was all done properly.
Yeah.
When I came here in the late 80s, it was like
the Wild West. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, it's got immensely better, and it's a really very civilized and wonderful place. But we still have the throwbacks, and you know, some of these companies actually go back to the old days, and they have balance sheets, which I look at and I think, well, how can you actually sign that? That is just a joke.
Right.
So if you've got a good accountant, you know, sleep well, enjoy your Christmas. Don't have to do anything before Christmas. But for goodness' sake, please. Ask your accountant some questions. Ask them for the balances. Oh, and incidentally, but I must make another point. We're actually doing quite a lot of marketing at the moment. We're sort of contacting businesses in Estepona, in Marbella, Fuengirola, and we're offering them a freebie. Would you believe that? Wow, accountants offering freebie? You wouldn't believe it, would you?
How do you set that off against your business if it's free? That's a tricky one.
Yeah, well, there's nothing to set off. It's just hopefully we just give people good. What we do, and this is we do a search. We go through the accounts. We go through their tax files with the tax office, obviously. We go through the social security, the labor, and we go through the company's house stuff. Okay, we do all of that for free. We issue a report, which is usually about 4 or 5 pages long, and it lists all the good news and all the bad news. It's not just about bad news, all the good news as well. And you know, a lot of clients, a lot of the health checks that we've issued are just good news because they've got great accountants. Yeah. So we're doing this as a freebie because we'd like to talk to people and, you know, obviously like to impress them with how wonderful we are. But it is a serious thing. And anyone who wants a free health check on their business, they may have some concerns. They may be not getting the right kind of responses. All you got to do is contact my office and you sign a few bits of paper, completely confidential, and we will do the sort of background checks, and we'll come back to you with a full-blown report, which is worth at least €250. And if nothing else, it will give you some great news, which is everything's in good order. Maybe there's something silly that's not right. But, you know, once you've been and had the health check, you can sleep well at night. I'm 60-odd years old, and when I had a health check and things were good, you know, it did help me. You know, it's a nice feeling.
Absolutely. So, definitely worth doing it. As you say, knowing is power, isn't it? If you don't know, then you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. You know, you may not have a fantastic relationship with your accountant. You might have a language difficulty. But if the guy's doing a fantastic job, then you'll feel great about it. And I want to emphasize the positive because it's not all about criticizing and knocking things. Because I do have some fantastic Spanish colleagues. I'm a member of one of the audit institutes in Spain, and obviously it's full of Spanish experts, and they've been incredibly supportive to me. And they are true professionals that you'll find as good anywhere in the world. So there's plenty of good professionals here. That's I'm not here to knock the professional standards in this country. They're
absolutely
all very good. Been here long enough to know.
How do people avail themselves of this service then, sir?
Just call Spence Clark. the telephone number is 95282-2943, and you'll find our receptionist will be very helpful and take your information, and one of our senior guys will get back to you. Or if you want to, just go to our website, which is spenceclark.com. Incidentally, you'll find this article, it's about 10 pages long. Nine pages. You'll find this article, and this may trigger off some things in your mind. So just go to our guides tab, and on the guides tab, you'll find 2019 year-end tax and accounts review, and you can print that out. It's designed for printing out, so you can look at it.
Fantastic. And you've almost set me up to play a record called Accentuate the Positives there. You nearly even introduced it for me. I'm very impressed.
Is that right? I've got it.
Fantastic.
Anyway.
Nice one. So we're back together at the end of next month, last Thursday of every month, and we'll enjoy speaking to you then. Thanks, Alistair. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bill, and thank you for your wonderful show.